14. Niflheim's Circle. The 5.5-hour journey to Iceland seemed a lifetime to Octavia. When she wasn't staring out the porthole, she paced the deck, but they didn't see another ship until they were at Reykjavik's port. She stared at the capital of Iceland, no bigger than an English town, the tallest building being a church on a hill. The houses were small and brightly coloured. She surveyed the port for a steamship, but there were only sailing ships with great masts. It was as though she'd gone back in time. Once the Hugo had been tugged into the harbour and secured to a wharf, she ran down the gangway. She stopped a fisherman carrying barrels from his ship. "Where's the port authority? I must know now." He shrugged and shook his head, and muttered something in Icelandic. Ah, he didn't speak English. And she didn't know a single Icelandic word, so she shrieked across the dock, "Please, please, someone tell me! Where is the port authority?" A skinny man in a thick grey sweater pointed toward the town and said, "Red House, over there." Octavia dashed past him, avoiding fishermen unloading their stock, and burst into the red two-story house without knocking. A huge man with tiny glasses sat behind a desk, wearing a dark blue sweater. He looked up and said something in Icelandic. "Do you speak English?" she asked. "Yes." "Good." She told her story quickly, finishing with the coordinates of Modo's location. The man shook his head. "I am sorry. You won't find anyone willing to rescue your husband," he said. "We call that area Niflheim's Circle. No Icelandic vessel has ventured there in over a year."
"Don't you have military ships? Or a steamer?"
He shook his head. "We cannot go there."
"I'll find someone else, then. There must be at least one brave fisherman in this godforsaken place."
She stormed onto the street without bothering to close the door. She still had $1,500, so she went to a post office and sent Mr. Socrates a telegram, then marched down to the docks and ran from ship to ship, begging fishermen to take her to Modo. The few who did speak English just shook their heads sadly or shrugged. Within the hour, the sun began to set, and by a little after 4 that afternoon, the long Icelandic night had begun. Octavia slumped to her haunches at the end of a dock, knowing in her heart that no one would be willing to venture out into the treacherous night, and that Modo would soon freeze to death, if he hadn't already. She began to sob.